Welcome to the special edition of On Research with CITI Program. This podcast is for educational purposes only. It's not designed to provide legal advice or legal guidance. You should consult with your organization's attorneys if you have questions or concerns about the relevant laws and regulations that may be discussed in this podcast. In addition, the views expressed are solely those of our guests. Welcome, everyone. This is a special edition of the On Research with CITI program. We're going to discuss a recent conference we attended and share our personal reflections and observations. Stay tuned to hear about emerging hot topics and takeaways. We'll also cover tips for getting the most out of your conference attendance. The conference we are recapping is Primer's annual ethics conference. We hope you will enjoy this wrap-up whether you attended Primer or not this year. Let me introduce myself. I'm Margaret Rankovich, Director of Content and Education at CITI Program, and I'll be the guest host of this podcast. I've been attending and speaking at this conference for several years, and my background is in IRB. To start off, I'm going to introduce the panel. Let's start with Bharat.
Thank you, Margaret. Bharat Krishna, I am the Managing Director of the CITI program, and it was wonderful being at Primer in DC in 2023 after, I believe, 4 years of the conference being virtual. Great to be back in person. I do like to expand the acronym, so I think we should, Margaret, mention Primer stands for the Public Responsibility in Medicine and Research. I believe they're celebrating their 50th year next year. Is that correct, Margaret?
Yes, Bharat, that is correct. Primer was founded in 1974. The same year as the National Research Act. Primer's new director, Dr. Ivy Tillman, announced their 50th anniversary at her keynote and that the organization has celebrations and reflections planned to commemorate this anniversary.
That's great. So that's a big milestone. So it was a very important conference, and I'm very glad to be here on the panel.
Thank you, Bharat. Let's hear from our next panelist, Dr. Jamie Arango.
Hi, Margaret. I'm Jamie Arango. I'm the Vice President of Content at CITI Program, and I certainly echo Bharat's statements. I'd also note that as almost a 20-year veteran from our conferences, it was great to be back.
Great. Sid?
Hi. Thanks for having me. Sid Gomes, Head of IT for CITI Program, and this was my first time attending Primer. It was an eye-opening experience in a few different ways. They covered a lot of interesting topics, and I can't wait to dive in.
Thank you. And we also have Gina.
Hi, I'm Gina Sullivan. I'm the Director of Sales and Marketing, and it was a pleasure seeing everyone at our exhibit table this year.
Thank you. So the five of us are going to give our reflections and observations of this Primer conference. To give some context, we attended the 2023 Primer Annual Conference, which was held December 3rd through 6th in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Convention Center. Primer's focus is on ethical, responsible, and high-quality research. What's unique about this conference is that it offers content to both animal care and use and human subjects research oversight professionals. And in some cases, that's separate sessions and tracks, but there's also content crossover sessions that cover themes that span the research enterprise. The audience for this conference includes Human Research Protection Program, HRPP directors and staff, IBC and IA Cook and IRB administrators, members, chairs, IOs and SOs, federal agency representatives, pharma and biotech industry personnel, legal counsel, research subject advocates, QA/QI personnel, compliance personnel, research integrity officers, and others involved in research oversight. With that, I guess let's start our conversation here with what was a highlight of the conference for you, whether that be a favorite session or informative conversation or a poster you'd like to consider as a highlight. Bharat, do you want to start?
Sure. First of all, I agree with what Gina mentioned. It was great to be back in person. I think this was the first in-person Primer since pre-COVID. So it's been 4 years. Of course, the virtual conference over the years has been nice as well, but it's not the same thing meeting everybody in person. And it was great to see the record sort of turnout. There were so many people. I think one of the other changes that Primer has done is to fold the human subjects and animal research audience together in a single conference. They used to run them as two separate conferences pre-COVID. And I think bringing that audience together, in my view, is actually one of the takeaways from here. I thought it was a very positive thing to bring everybody together in one place. And there were actually some sessions. And I thought that was actually one of the sessions and takeaways that was quite interesting. There's actually a session, a few sessions where they actually spoke about, you know, why do we treat in the institutions, like why do we treat these as silos and really have the IA Cooks meet separately and the IRBs meet separately. And this was really bringing them together, that research is really a continuum. And I think that was a key takeaway for me. And I would be remiss to not mention the other big theme, which was AI. It was all over the conference, as no surprise. It was great to hear Ivy Tillman, the new director of Primer, speak and set the vision and stage for Primer going forward. She took over earlier this year, so it was great to meet her also on the sidelines and to hear her talk. Another session I really enjoyed was by Heather Pierce, who is the acting chief scientific officer for the WAMC. She had a really nice talk as well during the keynote.
Thank you, Barrett. When you said research is really a continuum and we don't operate in silos, that resonated with me and is such a key point from this conference and applicable to our work in content development and training as well. And yes, we will discuss the hot topic of AI later in this podcast. Let's hear from Jamie. Can you share a key takeaway from your experience at Primer this year?
Sure, Margaret. One of the major highlights for me was that we were able to all be back together. The obvious takeaway, or the big takeaway as well, was that technology, particularly AI, was a serious focus for attendees and for the sessions, many that covered different aspects of AI. I think for the community, the big challenge is really, and AI is demonstrating this, is to keep current with research and how research occurs, and how it changes.
Jamie, that's a really good point. And I actually learned something at one of the sessions too, that a challenge for IRBs and oversight committees too is not just reviewing the tech, but making sure that the research is using the most current version of the tech. So for example, like as the tech providers increase privacy and data protection features to their apps or to their technology, that's one of the safeguards you can have in place as an IRB, is making sure that the researcher is using the most up-to-date and current versions of this type of tech.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Margaret. I think those points also bring out another concern or area that sometimes doesn't really get a lot of focus, which is what happens to the research. I think IRBs and research administrators are focused on making sure the research occurs ethically and follows the regulations. But what happens after we've collected all this data and all this information? What happens next?
Great. Thank you, Jamie. And yes, I agree. I think data management and data sharing and issues related to data ownership and access are really critical, tagging on to your point about what happens to the data after the research. Now, Sid, as a systems director at Citi Program, I'm sure you attended sessions more related to tech. Can you share a key takeaway you had from the conference?
So from my perspective, one thing that sort of jumped out to me was the conversation around AI. You just alluded to that, Bard. So this is a recurring theme. It's sort of the topic du jour. I've seen it in other conferences, and I saw it from a different perspective at this one. The one session that comes to mind, I think, is the one about AI is not the boogeyman, which is kind of a funny title, but the title of the session was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. The speakers admitted to that. But to their credit, they tried to sort of give an abbreviated history of artificial intelligence and how we've gotten to close to where we are today. And I think it was Dr. Rosenfeld went to great length to sort of peel the covers back from how a neural network works to an audience that some were probably familiar with this, but others weren't. So he had a challenge in front of him, and he was able to dive into that. And I thought that was interesting. If you don't know neural networks, you basically start with the question and the answer, and then train the neural network on how to arrive at the correct answer. And you'll have different training sets and different validation sets. Without getting too technical, the point is, I think Dr. Rosenfeld went to great lengths to say, this is how this works. This is how this black box works. You don't need to be intimidated by this. This is something that we can work with. This is something that we can detect patterns with, root out biases and hallucinations, and overall improve the tool as we go forward. But before long, there were audience members that were bringing up the Boeing 737 MAX. And I think the newer versions of AI, the generative AI, is really what is the boogeyman in the room. And Dr. Rosenfeld and some of the other speakers had sort of acknowledged that. That's really the kind of AI that we're more concerned with. And the challenge ahead of us is, how do we build trust in operations like that? How do we buy the transparency that we need into those systems? So I know that the EU just passed some regulations on this. So this is a hot topic right now. Salesforce, to their credit, have built a trust model around this approach to try and peel back those layers. So it's something that I think we're all sort of wrestling with, and the research community is as well.
Sid, that's really interesting to hear your take on the conference with the inclusion of the AI topic. Whenever I heard AI, I also heard it followed by ChatGPT. That seemed to be like almost synonymous in some people's presentations, that they were discussing both AI and ChatGPT. And it was interesting to me to hear how the issues in ChatGPT have really emerged in the past year. Because I think a year ago, we didn't have any sessions that referenced ChatGPT. And now probably five or six of the ones I went to were talking about both like the use of it in research, how it's being used to generate consent forms and make it more understandable, using it to research something as a tool, understanding when it is being used as the object of the research or the subject of the research, and then also issues we should be aware of as like research oversight as far as privacy concerns, bias, data sets, data sharing, proprietary use and such. So I thought that was really interesting and emerging topic that Primer captured well. Gina, did you want to share any key highlights from the conference for yourself?
Sure. So for myself, my main role was to be at the exhibit table where I am meeting and greeting people. The highlights for me is that I'm meeting students who are brand new in their career, just starting in research, all the way through people who are very senior in their research careers, are even getting ready to retire. So to be back in person and meeting and greeting everyone, saying hello, and obviously describing to them some of the products that can help them advance in their career, it was very special, especially not having been in person for so long. Just saying hello and meeting people I had spoken to over Zoom, if you will, or over the 13-inch laptop screen. One woman came up to me and said, "Hi, Gina, I'm so-and-so." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I didn't recognize you out of the 13-inch laptop screen. So nice to meet you."
I know, it's almost like we need to have our virtual backgrounds behind us when we go around sometimes. I would definitely echo that and say for me, like one of the big highlights of the conference, it was just being back in person again, like meeting with colleagues, seeing people, presenting in person. I think the in-person element was really positive. A session that I took a lot from, I thought, was the FDA workshop the first day. I've been to many FDA workshops about reviewing FDA-regulated research before. What I thought was unique about this one is they really incorporated current FDA guidance and the case studies we got to work with in groups and kind of dive into a little deeper. So we got to talk about human cell therapy products, which there's recent FDA guidance on, real-world data, and kind of really talk about the nuances there in this kind of research oversight space. So I thought that was really interesting.
I've heard all of us conference veterans really echo the sentiment that we enjoyed being back in person. And we've also referenced Primer has a new executive director, Dr. Ivy Tillman. I did like meeting her and seeing her both as a keynote speaker, welcoming us to the conference, but also in a more intimate setting.
I went to one of her sessions. She presented on like professional development and team building in the HRPP. And it was great to see her in that role, speaking more as like a peer, like, "Hey, this is what I've done with my team. These are the mistakes I've made. These are the challenges I've overcome." And it was great to see her in that light, as well as when she's up giving a keynote speaking for Primer itself.
That's a great point, Margaret. And I think that's one of the big benefits of these conferences, really, is sharing things that we otherwise as professionals, you know, wouldn't normally get access to, especially of certain leaders like that. Certainly very, very interesting.
And I did also want to say, I thought the crossover content is unique for this conference as well. I went to a session on data sharing, and they had somebody there from both the animal side and from the human subjects research side, and they both got to bring different perspectives to the same issue here. So I thought that was unique, kind of bringing those together. I presented a session about implicit bias in research, and we were considered a crossover content session as well. We had a representation from an IACUC and also IRB. And by having those perspectives on there and like giving a unified presentation, I thought that was a really unique thing about Primer. We had about half and half, half IACUC folks and half IRB folks of the 70 or so people that attended our session. Now that we've given our individual highlights and takeaways, the next thing I'd kind of want to discuss with you guys is, how do you plan to apply the knowledge or insights we gained from the conference to our work? What did we bring home from the conference?
From my perspective, my main takeaway is the fact that the people at this conference and other conferences as well, they really need the products that we offer. We were introducing a brand new product called the IRB Protocol Review Course, but that course is one new offering that is a supplement to many of the other courses that we offer. So there's the need to learn, you know, whether it's something like IRB Protocol Review or something that's more about artificial intelligence. It is an evolving audience. It's an evolving need for new courses because the industry continues to grow.
For me, it was important to meet a lot of the customers of City Program and understand how they're using our learning management system and just sort of, A, get a sense for how they connect to us, how they pull data from us, what sort of wish list items they might have for the learning management system for integrations going forward. Those are some of the key takeaways. So connecting with some of the vendors between sessions was pretty important for me.
And I think those are all really great points. You know, one of the things with these kinds of conferences, Margaret, you know, though I think there was over 150 sessions. You know, one observation I made was almost a third, maybe more than that, of the sessions had presenters that were also Citi program contributors and authors, which I thought was great. And hopefully we'll have more sort of crossover there over time. A couple other themes that I sort of took away, which I think will be important for us as a training provider in the space going forward into 2024, a few other themes that I picked up on, apart from, you know, the obvious AI theme that was seemed to be everywhere. One was certainly around the importance of advancing equity and justice in research and in sort of the oversight process. And I thought there was a lot of talk on that, including by the FDA. I think the FDA in one of the sessions had their representative sort of underline the importance of the disproportionate impact of research sometimes on marginalized communities and how important that is to sort of fix and get more participation in clinical research and clinical trials. And I think that was a very important takeaway, especially in the context as we embrace new technology and get into more decentralized clinical trials coming out of, you know, the pandemic, with a greater, broader acceptance of technology. Hopefully we can bridge that. There are still other issues like social issues, like trust, et cetera, with certain communities to embrace and get more people to participate in clinical research. I thought that was a very important topic. There were also some sessions. Some of them, of course, I couldn't be at all of the sessions, and I'm glad that Primer records them. So you can go back and watch them in case you were double booked and couldn't be at a session. I believe there was one session which I missed in real time, which I hope to catch in the recording, around the participation of new entities like CVS and Walgreens in clinical trials. And I think that'll be very interesting to see how all that impacts training as more people come into the fold, and how do we as a training provider really provide courses and material as a greater number of newcomers come into the field, right? That was one. I think another thing that I would sort of say is important for the program, I think, is really just the takeaway that the continuing challenges and opportunities, you know, of conducting social, behavioral, educational research in the digital age, right? I mean, using online platforms, social media, big data, collecting this data. Some of it is collected in a private context and private entities, but then federal research has all sorts of other rules. And how do you sort of bring all that together? What are the appropriate methods for data collection, data retention, whether it's health data or non-health data in this increasingly measured world and increasingly digital world? I thought that was a big sort of takeaway. And for us to help train, solve, find the expertise, share best practices, that's another sort of major, you know, takeaway. Margaret, I'm sure you had some observations as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting you pointed out the focus on justice and diversity, equity, inclusion. I learned that there's a new government agency called ARPA that I hadn't been familiar with before, and I found that to be interesting. That's the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, ARPA. Also, I guess this kind of segues into another question I wanted to throw out to the group. Is there was an opening panel. The question was, what keeps you up at night? And they had representatives from different agencies kind of give like what the trending topics are, or what keeps them up at night. The FDA, for example, the presenter shared, she was talking about organs on chips. It may work and function, but we don't know how organs talk to each other. The clinical trial diversity challenge, that was a big one she mentioned a few times. FDA's ability to regulate things like cosmetics and personal care products. A new authority to get ingredients listed, enable toxicology work and science. So those are the things that she said would keep her up at night. So I just kind of wanted to throw it out to our panel here and see if there's any topics we would add coming from this conference of things that would keep us up at night.
Well, I'll jump in with a couple. One I think for me is certainly as this is the accelerator and brake sort of analogy, right? AI is there. It's going to produce a whole bunch of innovation. We should certainly not slow down innovation. But there's also many dangers that sort of lurk ahead without proper testing, et cetera. So for us to find the balance, I think, between not slowing down innovation in producing great research, great products out of research that can help people, not slowing it down while at the same time not making big mistakes along the way, and finding who's accountable for mistakes that an AI makes down the road. Those are, I think, quite important balancing acts that we still need to solve. That one, and then the list that the FDA person mentioned sounds like a pretty good one too.
I have a few things that keep me up at night, I'll admit, and I think I found some like-minded folks at one of the sessions late on Tuesday. Ann Maglia with UMass and Rhonda Oilepo, she's in Texas, I believe. They ran a session called Building a Research Data Infrastructure. And the session, if you recall how some of those sessions were quite popular, some of them were standing room only. This session was not so full, and it perhaps should have been much fuller. That was one of my concerns, because they were wrestling with some very big challenges on how to build out a proper data infrastructure to support what the researchers are requiring. And the one thing that sort of stuck out to me is that there are researchers that are conducting research today and generating voluminous amounts of data. These are not gigabytes anymore. We're talking terabytes of data. And they're not getting those terabytes of data on the infrastructure at the institutions where they work. And researchers are going to research. And if you don't give them the infrastructure they need to perform that research, they're going to go outside of your environment. And by doing that, they're going outside of your controls. And that's where you risk data leaks, you risk revealing private health information, and you risk cybersecurity attacks, because the data is moving off of your platforms where you've built the security, off of your four virtual walls, so to speak. So there was a lot of concern that they weren't able to get those resources, and it was nearly unanimous. The biggest challenges that they were all sharing was finding the funding to be able to buy the infrastructure components they needed to build. So they had a good plan for what they wanted to build, but they were competing with other projects and other priorities internally at those institutions to try and get those dollars. And I don't know if those challenges are properly illustrated to the staff that are making these decisions, so that they understand the opportunity cost of not investing in this infrastructure and what sort of risks that could pose.
Sid, I think that is so key. And I can definitely relate that your session probably wasn't the most popular, the one you're referencing, but it's kind of like eating our vegetables. Like, it's something that everyone thinks we should be doing. We know we should be doing, like, planning for data management, planning for data sharing, and making sure that mechanisms are in place and funding is in place. There are regulatory and policy requirements for this. But actually doing it, I've heard a lot of concerns about institutions struggling with the doing it part and, like, securing funding and being able to enact those kind of plans and policies.
One of the challenges in that is really you get funded for doing research on a specific project or a set of protocols, but data and data management, cybersecurity and research security are really infrastructure. They are the underpinnings across all the research you undertake. And so sometimes I guess that becomes a little bit of the problem, where institutions have to solve for research infrastructure issues that aren't necessarily tied to individual grants, but really span across. And so those always, I think, in this sort of a grant-funded sort of universe, that is a harder one to invest sometimes.
There were some topics that weren't covered at the conference that I would have expected as well. Topics that are, I think, kind of current in, like, the IRB and HSR and HRPP world that we are discussing, but I didn't see sessions on. Those include bots in research. I've heard a lot about bots in research, like messing up the research itself or interfering, and, like, how to manage and handle this. But I didn't see any sessions on that. I also didn't see much on, like, cell and biologics content, and there's a lot going on there with FDA guidance and, like, developments and such. I didn't see as much post-COVID content as I would have expected. The past few years of Primer, there's always been content about how offices and organizations have responded to disasters and adapted and reviewed research differently and such, but I didn't see anything this year on the COVID kind of direct content. And finally, like, I've heard a lot about staffing shortages and team leadership, and I didn't see really any sessions on that as well. I guess for the rest of the panel, were there any sessions you were expecting to see at Primer that maybe you didn't see or topics not covered?
I think that was a pretty good list there, Margaret. But, you know, there was a lot of content to give Primer credit to cover the amount of change that's going on. And coming back after 4 years, it's kind of hard to cover every topic and checkbox everything. I would say cybersecurity, I think, is a topic that Sid mentioned, and I might have missed it, but I didn't see a lot of discussion on cybersecurity. I think research security is a key new topic. I didn't see a whole bunch on that. I also don't think I saw a lot of RCR type content. I thought it was a little bit maybe light as well, especially with AI and ChatGPT. I thought honesty, plagiarism, the risk of not being original in research, those things were a little bit, maybe a little lighter, or maybe I missed them and you know, scanning the app and trying to pick interesting sessions out of like so many. I would say rather than what's missing, there was one I found to be one of the oddball sort of sessions that for me, at least, attending was I went to the psychedelic research session, which I thought was quite interesting. And, you know, a few years ago, cannabis research became more prominent and started showing up at the Primer and other sort of venues. And we have developed some programs as the regulations have been changed in the different states. There's definitely more activity in cannabis research, and that's been a hot topic over the last few years. And it feels like psychedelic research is kind of sort of where cannabis research was a few years ago. And that was actually quite well attended session. I was quite amazed at the number of people. There was a question to the audience, you know, how many of you are actively evaluating protocols or submissions for psychedelic research? And quite a few hands went up. And I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, trend that I observed at the conference as well.
Great. I would also share to anyone who might be a first timer going to a Primer conference or another conference, the presenters here are generous, are thoughtful, and appreciate questions as well. Myself as a presenter, I value when anyone asks the question, you get to expand on something you might have covered, but you want to talk a little bit more about or clarify something or provide that follow-up for later. So if you're going to a conference and you have a question or a thought, please don't hesitate. Please stand up and share it at the session.
One other sort of tip I would sort of give is, at least I tend to do this and I find it valuable, is I do go through the posters, and you don't have to sit and read every poster in detail, but you know, if you can quickly glance at the main point of the poster and decide within a few seconds, I know your time is sort of short in a conference like this, decide within the first minute or so if that's a poster you want to really understand. And scanning this helps you identify the handful of posters that folks have spent a lot of time coming up with, possibly the previous year or doing research on, or years. It's actually quite helpful. And these posters have to go through a process. They don't just, you know, land up on the board there. And so they've already been filtered, and they kind of reflect some of the more in-depth thinking that might be going on in the field that isn't necessarily represented in the session. So I thought that was quite useful. And I was also very pleased to see a CITI program mentioned a couple times in some of the posters. That was great.
I also did want to share that City Program, we did get the opportunity to meet our scholarship award winner at the booth. Jamie, did you want to speak to that?
Yeah, we got to meet Paul Braunschweiger Scholarship's first recipient, Dr. Jennifer Babenko. We awarded the scholarship the first year, and unfortunately, the pandemic sidelined the in-person chance to meet. So it was great to kind of finally meet her in person.
Great. Did anyone have any final thoughts they wanted to share?
I was just going to say, Margaret, you know, these conferences like Primer are great for networking, catching up on what's latest in the field, and certainly meeting some of your own colleagues. And as people are starting to work more remote, I think this is a great opportunity to physically reconnect. The social events are great. And also, as Gina suggested, get a sense of what the vendors are doing as well in terms of the exhibit halls, where the players. A nice thing about a conference like Primer is the regulators are there too. And it's really great to hear from the FDA or NIH, et cetera, like what are key top of mind issues for them? What's keeping them up at night? And I think we're ending in a situation post-pandemic with the best of both worlds. You get to attend a conference like this, go to these great sessions, and then at least for a subset of them, if you miss the sessions, you can watch them, you know, virtually again afterwards in the recording. And I think that's a great opportunity as well. It's a great opportunity for continuous learning. And it was overall a great conference. And I look forward to seeing how Primer evolves its model going forward.
Great. Thank you. Gina, you did mention some new courses that we've released and that people are interested in at the conference. How can folks get in touch with you if they're interested in City content or want to add new courses to their subscription?
There are two ways. One would be email to sales@citiprogram.org, or we also have an 888-529-5929 number as well.
Thank you. Great. I would like to thank our panelists today for being on this podcast and sharing their thoughts and insights about the Primer 2023 conference. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in for today's conversation. I hope you enjoyed our conference wrap-up and got a few key takeaways. I invite you to visit citiprogram.org to learn more about our courses and webinars.